Our first guest today is leading a grassroots effort to let Michigan voters decide on a part-time legislature this November.
Our legislature cannot solve our economic problems. This is why today I am proposing to correct history and upright our great ship of state and return it to its roots by giving you the opportunity to vote for a part-time legislature.
That's Norman Camerod, a West Michigan business owner who chairs the Committee to Restore Michigan's Part-Time Legislature. The group's calling for a two-month legislative session with salaries of $35,000. Currently, the length of Michigan's legislative sessions vary. It's not uncommon for it to meet fewer than 100 days a year. Work is also done in the representative's home district. Legislators average around $80,000 in annual salary. Mr. Camerod says the move would reduce the influence of lobbyists, force legislators to focus more on genuine public service, and restore the aim of the original state constitution. Critics point to a host of pitfalls, including giving too much authority to the governor, bureaucrats, and, ironically, lobbyists, and severely reducing the pool of qualified candidates. To learn more, we welcome Norm Camerod to Current State. Hi, Norm.
Hi. Great to be here with you and your listeners.
We appreciate it. Tell us a little bit more about how a part-time legislature in Michigan would work, please. We've got a two-month legislative session, salaries cut to $35,000 a year. What else can you add to that?
In a nutshell, we're going to be actually cutting their time in office there in Lansing down to 60 days of regular session per year. That's going to be starting in January 1 and ending on March 1. During that same time, they will only be able to vote on bills instead of, as right now, where they actually develop the bills in these four walls we have in Lansing's capital. Those bills now will be developed under our proposal in the district right in front of us instead of the lobbyists in Lansing. Then, as you said, the legislators' compensation is capped at $35,000 per year for that 60 days. Now, that's $17,000 plus each month that they're there voting. Beyond that, they're back in the district working the same jobs we do, and also committing some of their life to public service, as was required of them prior to 1963. Then the disclosure of all state payments by the legislators. If they go to Mackinac Island and they go to see their party and they try to build a state for it, guess what? We're going to be able to see it right online under our proposal, and we'll be able to see every dime they're spending. No more hiding expenses behind closed doors as we've been seeing in the past. The bills that they vote on will have to be made public on the Internet 5 days prior before adoption. They cannot sit here and change a bill halfway through mid-session and say, all right, even though we published it in this form, we've just added these words, now it's a different bill. Okay, now you have to put it on the Internet for another 5 days.
When do these bills get debated, Norm?
I'm sorry, say again?
When would these bills be debated?
They're going to be debated in the district, or as far as developed in the district. They'll be debated during that 60 days when they're in the House and Senate. They'll be as far as adopting and talking about the bills at that point, but that's pretty much it. They're voting on these bills primarily while they're in the House and Senate.
And what do you see as the key benefits of this transition?
Oh, my gosh. I would invite your listeners to go to our part-time MI Facebook account, a Committee to Restore Michigan's Legislature's Facebook account, because we had Becky Lockhart out of Utah actually contribute a video that shows all these benefits. But in reality, we're going to be made 100% knowledgeable of what they're voting on. When these legislators are in Lansing and they're voting on bills, I've witnessed it, where a lot of the legislators, the bills come off at a rate of 1,800 bills, according to the Legislative Service Bureau, per year. They only are required to put out one bill. That's just the
budget.
Yeah, that's just the budget.
Now, critics point to a variety of concerns. One is that it will exclude the middle class because they cannot afford to interrupt their jobs for 2 months to go to Lansing. Could you respond to that?
Oh, no. I would reemphasize, look at Becky Lockhart's video. They're going to be able to go you'll have Joe the plumber that'll be able to participate in this. Right now, the way the system's set up, they're literally being governed by the local party system that's in place right now, and it is a career. These politicians, they are insulated by a $100,000 a year salary and benefit package, and they have absolutely no exposure practically to the districts or society for which they invoke these laws upon. This proposal restores this. We're going to restore this. This isn't something we're fabricating. This is something taken from Michigan's history up until 1963.
You've invoked township supervisors as role models, essentially, for state legislators. Talk to us about that. Why would a township supervisor be something of a role model for how a state legislator should operate?
Well, this is an excellent example. And I've, in the past, have looked at Allendale Township, Blinden Township, where I live. Both of them, believe it or not, have carpenters that are supervisors on these township boards. Now, Allendale Township is a charter township, quite more lengthy than holding office as a representative. In fact, there's a lot more responsibilities. He has a budget. He has a board. He has roads to maintain. He's actually got water districts that he has to also fund and make sure that are operating properly in sewer districts. This guy literally does this part-time, and he's a carpenter on the other side of his life. And also in my township, I live in a general law township, more constitutional general law, but in the same token, he's a carpenter, and he does it. He's there maybe 2 or 3 hours every other day, and then he's doing his business as he normally does. This is nothing new. We're not inventing nothing new here. We're basically restoring back what we've had in the past for our legislators. They are also going to be doing the same thing, getting their skin in this game that they're regulating.
Well, some critics fear that it could actually assign more authority and power to lobbyists and bill factories out of Washington, D.C. What do you make of that criticism?
I think it's hoopla. I mean, it's a red herring. In reality, they'll still have the ability to organize themselves under our bill. They'll still have staff in Lansing that'll be no more than 250 staff. But, Mark, I know a lot of people even criticize that aspect. Well, we're reducing staff immensely. John Engler, when he was in office, actually put that legislature on steroids. There was probably 3 to 4 representatives with one secretary prior to John Engler. And John Engler ended up adding staff upon staff, thus creating the Engler machine, as we all heard. That's going to be reduced. First of all, there's a huge reason for this. Representative Bill Huizinga was a state representative. He actually served under Pete Hoekstra. He's a prime example of why we start developing with more and more and more staff. You have this huge machine that starts developing, and the public citizen-driven ideology is taken out as a result of this. We want to encourage.
Do you feel this will promote civic involvement in some way?
Oh, you bet.
How?
Because they're going to be developing these bills, these policies, and doing their research in the field, not in Lansing and in front of a lobbyist. Right now, we have a system where a lobbyist can walk right into a senator or representative's office with a check and a draft legislative piece, which I've witnessed, and virtually the representative picks it up and throws it onto the House floor or in the committee for discussion. I've actually witnessed this and have been the victim of it. It's going to take that and change it, and now they're going to actually do it in the field, in the district. In front of us, much like we see wetlands policies developed, or even wetlands districts, or different districts involving waste management with DEQ, where they actually hold public hearings in the field. We're going to, our brown fields and so on. We're going to see that. So,
it often gets reported how few people actually know the name of their state rep or state senator. You feel that this approach will actually raise awareness? It could actually be promote that kind of involvement and awareness.
It will do it as it did prior to 1963 when George Romney brought in the full-time legislature. You will know. I mean, I can remember in my youth, my mom and father knew who their state representative was. Today, my mother couldn't tell me. I even asked her last week, "Do you even know who he is?" And she says, "No, I really don't." It's going to encourage this because they're going to be doing this work in the field, and we're going to know who they are doing it. It's going to have a huge bearing on that.
You need 320-some thousand signatures to get this on the ballot. You've just launched your petition signing effort. Are you getting a lot of support? Are you getting a lot of skepticism? What?
If I had to weigh it out, Jack Hoogendijk actually ran just an independent poll. Wasn't certified, but he just ran it out on the Internet. Who wants it? 85% of the respondents are saying, we want it. But what I'm seeing personally is, even on our Facebook page, people are just desperate. They want to see real, real change in Michigan. I'm convinced this present system will not afford us change. I've gone across this whole state, both in Detroit, up north, and I just actually came back in from a little town called St. Louis yesterday. The foreclosures are still running rampant, and the legislature seems to be absolutely immune to this. We need to make them part of it and put their skin in this game.
You're at the State Board of Canvassers tomorrow, Norm. What's happening there?
We're going to be going. The State Bureau of Elections has recommended to the Board of Canvassers to adopt our petition. Basically, it's a formal process where the Board of Canvassers are going to now oversee this and under the Open Meetings Act actually formally adopt our petition, obviously with some input. But once that is completed, the petition's format, and that's what they're going to be looking at, the form, as reviewed by the Bureau of Elections, is going to be complete, and they'll formally adopt it. It's a formal proceeding.
Got it. Norm Kamerad chairs the Committee to Restore Michigan's Part-Time Legislature. Norm, thank you.
It was a pleasure being with you. Thank you so much.